morning we will continue our teaching through Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. I'm not going to read the whole thing today, the whole chapter again. We're going to be looking at the lying tongue or the liar. Just let me read those three verses for you, though, where it says, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among others. As we give consideration to the one aspect today of this, I want us to be keenly aware of the fact that as we look at these things, these to great degree are parts of many people's lives, but not all people have all these things. I will say this about lying. Lying is not something you learn to do. And all of you, again, I've said this before, all of you who have had children or have children now, and even that sweet little baby back there, that someday she will open her mouth after her mother or father ask her something, and out will come a lie. Just like that. We, by nature, are liars. And I say that by our fallen nature are liars. And I never cease to be amazed when I see a child do that, when they cannot reason why they've done it, that they just do it. And you even ask them, why did you tell that lie? And they go, I don't know. Let me ask this. How many of you have never told a lie? Okay, and I didn't think I would have to see too much participation today. We pretty much all told lies. So this is an important passage for us to look at, or an important verse or words, and we'll connect those. So as we continue through this passage in Proverbs 6, we'll be looking at both the lying tongue and the false witness who utters lies further down in 19 there. Because these two are so closely tied to one another. I also want to remind you of the context of this for those who were here a couple weeks ago when we read the whole chapter, and you will see that what he's speaking here is tied in very much to the other aspects of this chapter and the type of persons that we see there. And there are a number of passages that we're going to be giving consideration to, but two in particular today that we should give special attention to. In the first one I will read, we see the idea of one who is lying for personal gain. One who is lying for personal gain. In the second, and I say main passage, because we're going to be looking at a number of different verses and passages, but not nearly all of them, because there are so many that speak to this aspect of lying or not telling the truth. The second that we see is the lying as a false witness, and man and his sinful nature, as we see this. Again, there are many things that we will look at here. Again, we look at lying and deceit, and we see the opposite of that, again, is truth. And we know that Jesus made that proclamation of himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're going to be considering also, and this is important, some of the different reasons why someone might lie, why someone does lie. And here's a list of some of these. And it's kind of, you don't need to take them all down. You probably know them. They're in your minds. There is the blatant lie that is just, I mean, so clear cut. And it's oftentimes for gain or for power. I know in the last few months we've seen a lot of lies flying around the airwaves during the election time, the campaigning. And people, I marvel at times when people say to me, well, he lied. And I say, can you show me one person in politics who has not lied? Now, they call it different things, but it is lying. And I'm not surprised when they lie. I'm not surprised when people in certain positions lie. But I never find it pleasing. So they lie for gain. And that's different types of gain. And monetary being a big one. They lie for power. People lie for fame. With a desire sometimes to protect people, as we see with Rahab. And there's different types of lies. A lie is still a lie, don't get me wrong. A lie is a lie. But it's like different sins. Is this sin is the thinking a lustful thought as bad as the adulterous act? No. And the punishment would be different. The same as a simple assault would be a different punishment than somebody that was simply assaulting somebody who accidentally killed them, or then purposely killed them. The punishment would be greater. But we see what God's speaking here is that these things, these seven things, and this lying being among them in different types, is an abomination to him. To protect your dignity. Sometimes people lie. Isn't that a contradiction in itself? People lie to protect their dignity. Well, if you had any dignity, real dignity, you wouldn't lie. But again, we're dealing with sinful people. We're dealing with people like you and me. People lie to keep out of trouble with parents. Young people, I want you to listen to that. People lie to keep out of trouble with their parents at times. And I know all of you young people know this because I know you've all done it. People lie to keep out of trouble with their bosses or those who are authorities. And that could be either in the workplace, the civil authorities. Some people lie on their income taxes. We're back to gain now. They lie for different reasons, and there's a multitude of them. And they do it because they've been doing it most of their lives. Some of you, as I'm going through this, and there are many, many more reasons. I just put them here. Some of you, as I'm going through this, this is probably more stinging than for others. Some of you may have been pretty much as honest as you could be most of your life, and you have that good character trait. Some of you have been blatant liars. And I don't know who all of you are in that, but I know that's true because any room, even this size, with this many people, I can be sure that there are at least three people that are blatant liars or have been. Because I'm one of them. I was one of them. But I know others that have been as well. There is the lie that soothes. A good example of this would be, and don't hold me to this because I don't always do it. If somebody says something to me in a classroom setting, and I don't want to make too much of a wave, so I say, well, that's a good idea. When actually I'm thinking, that's not even reasonable. But I don't want to cause a wave, too big of a wave. I don't want to get anybody angry at me, especially in a classroom setting. So I go, so not any time I say that to you, you're going to go, is he lying to me? But people do that. They say, you know, and I've seen people do it. I mean, I've asked them even afterward. I said, do you really think I'm good? Well, no, but, you know, you want people to be able to talk, and we do. But if somebody doesn't have a good idea, should we say it? Again, we come into those nice types of lies. Again, your wife comes up and says, do I look old? What do you say? I mean, you can just say not. You can say, I plead the fifth. You can look at her and say, do I look like a fool? You can say something just completely different. In my eyes, you will always be beautiful. You know, there are different ways to answer. And you're not lying there. But you, neither of you answered the question correctly. And there's a lot of those cute little things that we see in our lives that we struggle through. And let's not forget about the half-truths or withholding something. Withholding something when you've been asked a direct question and you answer it in the part that you fill. Now again, this doesn't mean that everybody has to be an open door for everybody and you need to go and tell everybody everything you've ever done. But if people, especially people in authority in your life, ask you something, and I'll use the suggestion here of mothers and fathers, especially elders in the church, when they're asking you something, you're supposed to tell them the truth. When the authorities ask you a question, because God has put them in authority, you're supposed to tell them the truth. Now again, we do have that exception with Rahab. And we can look back to that at times and say, well, is this... And there are a lot of people that say, well, it's okay to lie if you're going to save a life. And I might agree with them in some sense in that, but that doesn't change the fact that it's still a lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. And I want to really direct this message today to the young people, or the younger people here. As most of the adults have already, hopefully, are already in the habit of not lying. But again, a lie can come simply, and I'll say this, I was walking by a store this week, and there was a guy standing out there, and he asked me for a quarter. Now, I said, I don't have one. And I wasn't lying, but I was in the sense that I didn't even look. I didn't go that far into my pocket to say, oh, do I have a quarter? I couldn't be bothered. And so sometimes we will lie for convenience. The person that calls on the phone, the telephone solicitor that wants to sell you something. And you don't want to be rude. So you may just say, they say, is this Mr. So-and-so? And you go, no. And I don't know if any of you have ever caught yourself doing something like that. Or saying, well, no, we don't need any of that. And you don't want to go into a long explanation because basically you get into a thing with the salesperson, it can go on forever and ever. And then you don't want to be rude and just say, look, hang up on them. So we take the easy way out often. And to me, it's actually better to be a little bit, and I don't mean rude. It may feel rude to them, but to just say, look, I'm not interested in what you have to offer at this time. So thank you for your call, and I hope you do well. And then you can hang up, and you don't have to get into a debate. But we, because it's easier sometimes, it's just easier to do that. But I want, again, the younger people today are often put in situations, because in school and in their workplaces, where lying might be, sometimes it's just, oh, I just don't want to deal with this, so they just tell that little lie. And this is where we get into the weird stuff, the little lie, the white lie. Well, like it's a good lie. It's not a bad lie. It's just a little white lie. A lie is a lie. It's still a lie. And I want you to know this, and I think you know this. I'll again ask for a show of hands. How many of you like to have people lie to you? Nobody. Nobody does. I don't think anybody in their right mind likes to be lied to. And there are many who, once you have lied to them, it will take you a very, very long time to regain their trust. Some people never. They're not as forgiving as I believe they should be. But I do believe that it will take a long time to regain their trust. And again, I'm not going to go into it. I've told you the stories of my childhood and my blatant lying to the point where my father, it was years and years into my mid-teenage years before he could believe me, anything that rolled out of my mouth if he asked me something. Even if I was telling the truth. And this is where it gets funny. Because if you become known to be a liar, it sticks with you. And it sticks with you. And then you have to prove again that you're not a liar. Better to not fall in to this horrible sin. Because it's a sin in some ways. It's like pride. Remember, we looked at the haughty eyes, the pride last week, where you have this person. It's not like they're doing anything horrible. They're not stealing from you. They're not hurting you physically in any way. And yet God says he hates it. Because when we look at that, where did pride start with? Did I bring it back out last week? It basically will take it back. It goes to the devil. And we're going to see the same thing with lying. And we're going to see the same thing with all of these things that we're going to be looking at. I want you to understand, again, and you young people, I want you to listen up. I want you to understand how imperative, how absolutely of the greatest importance it is for you to be as honest a person as you are possibly able to be. And let me say this. You are able to be as honest a person as you want to be. Now, sometimes we have to learn how to do things a little. When your friend comes up and says, "Do you like my dress?" And you go, "No, I think it's an ugly color." There's different ways to say the same thing that are not as forceful. There are a lot of things that you will run into. But learn to be honest. Learn to love to be honest. Most of you will fail at this sometimes. Hopefully none of you will fail horribly. And sometimes it may be in dealing with something absolutely silly. But you need then to press on. You need to ask God to forgive you. And you need to press on knowing that this area of your life is of the utmost importance. It's going to deal with you in your workplace in the best or the worst of ways. If you become known as a liar in a workplace, you'll never do well in that workplace. On the other hand, if you're known to be of the highest degree of honesty, some people may not like you, especially, but you have great room for advancement because people know that they can trust you to the fullest. So do this knowing, if nothing else, that it will bring delight both to you because you will have a better conscience for it. Because when you lie, if you have a conscience, it will probe you and beat you. When you lie, God hates lies. And when you don't lie, and when you are honest, you have the pleasure of God. And you have a peace in your own mind. So let's look at these two passages after that rather long introduction. Acts 5. How many of you may have thought that I was going to Act 5? This is the one for gain. And it's only one, but it's the one that came first to my mind. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds? So here we have lying and stealing. But there's the lie, and it's the indirect lie. The proceeds of the land. While it remained sold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? By the way, let me stop there for a second. When you lie, you have to think it through a little bit. Telling the truth, you tell the truth. When you lie, you have to plan the lie. And then all of you young people and all of you old people know that once you tell the lie, then you have to tell the lie to keep up the lie and tell that lie to keep up that lie. And sometimes the lies just build up forever and ever. In this guy's case, it didn't happen that way. All it took was one. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why have you contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing that what had happened. And Peter said to her, this is one of those, the authority in the church. Tell me whether you sold this land for so much. And he obviously named the price. And she said, yes, for so much. There was the lie. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. You see in this passage where there wasn't only the lie, but there was the contriving of this lie, the working out of the lie ahead of time. Well, we'll sell the land. We got this much. Let's just tell Peter and the other people that we got this much instead. And again, he's very clear. Why have you done this? Why have you contrived this deed in your heart? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And we see people dying here. Once again, you don't see any rescinding of this. We do know that some astounding things happened in the Old Testament. We know that during the Lord's Supper, those who often took the Lord's Supper in a way that was not honorable or who were in great sin, who had not repented it, they were falling asleep or becoming sick. And I tell people today that that too was not rescinded. And you can be sure if you are dishonoring God in certain ways that it will come back. And it will bite you. And it will hurt. So we have that. And then we have other ones that lead to it or refer to it in certain ways. Proverbs 21:6. where we see the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor. A fleeting vapor. How many of you have watched a vapor of something fly by you and it's gone? And that's what this is all like in reality. Much as, but the pursuit of death. This lying tongue to gain treasures is the pursuit of death. In the call to worship today, truthful lips will be established forever. But a lying tongue is only for a moment. But a lying tongue is only for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. But counselors of peace have joy. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble, and lying lips, again, are an abomination. It said that, and it says that in a number of places. And I remind you, God is never redundant just for the sake of being redundant. He just doesn't say things because he's run out of things to say or words to use. He's making a point again and again and again. And there are many others also that we see who have lied in different ways to accomplish their means. Again, I remind you of David and his act with Bathsheba and stuff, and sending Uriah out. Do I need to go? Yeah. You know, he didn't need to go out there. There was no need for this. Again, it was the deceitfulness of the heart and the wickedness of man. And there again are other passages that fall to this, but I'm not going to read all of them. There's just too many of them. But then we have in John 8:44, it says, and this is the other one, and I use this one especially because it speaks to the wickedness of this. And I remind you, go back all the way to the lie in Genesis, and you see this. And it refers to the same one, this lie, this deceit that seems so sweet, and then even the accepting of the lie, and then the further lie that came afterward. John says, you belong to your father, the devil. And I encourage you, read the earlier part of that chapter where you see it coming down to this. Is them debating with John, saying, our father is Abraham, we're the descendants, blah, 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 blah. And he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, but holding to a lie, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of lies. So when you lie, you are imitating the devil. You are following the example of the devil. And when you follow the truth, you are imitating our Lord. You're acting out in that vein. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those it crushes. You notice there's more to the lie. Basically, you know, you see it in marriages a lot, and even in families where a parent might say to the child, or sometimes a child might say to the parent, why did you lie to me? I thought you loved me. Just you see the picture that lying itself runs contradictory to love. You don't lie to people you love. Remember in Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar was trying to find his dreams in Daniel 2, 8, and 9, it says, "And the king answered and said, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you." Remember what that was. They were going to die, and it was not going to be nice at all. "For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you declare to me its interpretation." Then they went on to say, nobody could know this. But they had contrived, they had planned and schemed to lie. As I said, lying takes work. It actually takes work. And it's evil. Proverbs 10 also says, "He is on the path to life who heeds instruction, but he who forsakes reproof goes astray. He who conceals hatred is lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool." And so we see there's these different types of lying, but they're all lying. Some, again, as I said, are for convenience or gain. Some are, as we see when Jesus tells the Pharisees and those others, that their father is the devil. And I love to remind people of this, because the world today thinks God is everybody's father. But that's not what Jesus says. And he's telling them, because why? Because they were scheming and lying and planning how to get rid of him. So sometimes, and by the way, that would be the false witness. And it was easy. And we see it all the time in our courts today. People that get up and they just flat out lie. I mean, any of you who've been around a courtroom at all, you know, and you can look at people if you're half good and you listen carefully, and you can hear the lie. People that are real good at it, they know what to look for. It can be the way you shift. You know, they say a lot of people when they lie, they look to the left. They do something. They move their hand a certain way. They won't stare at you often. A lot of people, when you ask them a question, they go, no, look at me in the eye. Lie to my face. And they go, they can't. It's hard. Some people can lie well. They practice a lot. You have to practice it to do it well. Because although it's natural to the sinful man in certain ways, it goes against every nature of man who is made in the image of God. Lying is a horrible, horrible thing. John, 1 John 2, 21 through 23, and I love this. It says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. Again, complete opposites one from the other. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son also has the Father. And who is the greatest denier of Jesus as being the Christ, but Satan? The Father, very Father of lies, who has set up false religions all around the world that set up all sorts of different saviors and deny. And each of those religions, by the way, deny, whether quietly or overtly, they deny that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus himself was the one that said, I am the only way. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so we see this liar at its worst. And then in Revelation, there's two passages I just want to touch on. In Revelation 21:27, because we're looking back in Proverbs in the Old Testament at this wisdom, and then at the very end, it says this, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, speaking of the kingdom, but only those whose names are written on the Lamb's, in the Lamb's book of life. And last there is, blessed are those, in Revelation 22, 14 through 15, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right of the tree of life and may enter by the gate into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices lying. Interesting, that last line there. Everyone who loves and practices lying. This is the picture of the habitual liar. As I said, that one who goes around telling blatant lies. Sometimes, have you ever met, and there are people out there, that they lie for no reason. There's no reason for them to lie. They just come up and they just tell you a lie. I've known people, I've had a very dear friend in my life who was one of these people. And he would lie, and I'd catch him. I'd say, why'd you lie? He said, I didn't lie. I said, yes, you did. And I'd show him he lied. And he'd still try to say, I didn't lie. Try to lie his way out of lying. Till he'd eventually say, yeah, I lied. So why'd you lie? I don't know. I don't know. And the truth is people like that don't know. They're just caught up in it. Sometimes they just want to feel better about themselves. Sometimes they want you to feel worse about someone else. Again, these false witness type liars. But this is a sin. Not only is it an abomination to God in that sense, that it is that hatred, that it is that much of a stench before God, but it is one of those sins that seems to really, oftentimes, not really hurt anybody. Sometimes it can horribly. A lie can destroy a life. I've heard of people recently who've gotten out of prison after they've been accused of something. They've been in there for 19 years because somebody told a lie. And then that person finally said, I lied. But you can't fix the 19 years. So lies can be horrible. And again, then they can sometimes be, oh, she's not here right now. I grew up in a household like that, where people would say, is your mother home? And my mother would be going, you know, this is the unchristian household. And it was the norm for people to do that. And so that lie wasn't of great consequence. But once again, it's a lie. And lies are like little things. They're like thieves. Thieves usually start by stealing little things. And even insignificant things. Things that, if they look at it later and say, why did I steal this? They go, I don't know. Other than I wanted it. But there was no apparent reason to steal it. They just wanted it. And so they steal. We've got to guard ourselves, especially against these types of sins. Stealing's more blatant. Adultery, far more. Murder, even yet. But lying? It's just a little thing. It's a horrible thing. And part of that, the idea that it is a little thing, is a horrible thing. Young people, guard yourselves against lying. Guard yourselves. Start now. If you're already a liar more than you should be, and if you're lying at all, you're a liar. How many lies does it take to be a liar? Really, one. To be an habitual liar takes many. If you're a liar, stop being a liar. My advice for the old people, older people, it's the same. If you've had trouble with lying in your life, or you're still having trouble with lying in your life, remember my great philosophy, stop it. Just stop it. It really is that simple. You need to stop it. It's not just something that is little in sight of God. And that's why I love this passage and others that have referred to it. God makes it very clear that this is an abomination to me. These things. And let me tell you, if you get led into one, it is so much easier to get led into the other. And then as you build them up in your life, the different sins, what difference does this one make now? And this is the kind of society we live in today. People are even taught the lie in many parts of our society today. And I realize that we have that, and like our secret services and stuff like that, things that do take place. But again, lying's still lying. It's always lying. So I encourage you, heed the words of God carefully here. Put them in your heart. Think about them. Ask yourself, am I a liar? And if you say yes to yourself, right after you repented, say, why am I a liar? What have I gained from lying? Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you today that because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in our life, because we have our new creations, that we no longer have to lie. We are no longer under that curse in that way. And yet we find ourselves still caught up in that sin and many others. As we, again, look at the example of his own life, we can find no example where Jesus ever lied. Again, wonderful news for us, because he had to be the perfect sacrifice. Father, help us to follow him. Help us to follow him and men and women who have followed themselves into those footsteps. I pray, Lord, again, especially for the young people, as the temptations are often so much stronger in so many ways. Lord, protect them from this horrible and yet seemingly not too bad of a sin. Let them realize the truth of what it is. Let them see that it is indeed the opposite of the truth. That you love truth and you hate lies. Lord, help us to be lovers of truth as well. We pray this in Christ's name. Psalm 17, selection A. We're going to stand and sing 17A and then remain standing for the benediction and the doxology. The first words in this, the first line, second line, say, consider, Lord, a righteous cause. Oh, listen to my cry. Give your attention to my prayer. For my lips do not lie. What a wonderful thing to be able to say. Let's stand and sing our praise to God.